Greetings. We present to you the SMK, the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope.
At CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph, Ontario, through the web on CFRU.ca, and live streaming at this moment on CFRU's YouTube channel.
We are your master overseers, Drew Jacy
and Nicholas Cooper. We will be looking inward and beyond at progressive rock, the branches of progressive fusion and alternative genres, and energetic anomaly, and other unique discoveries near and far.
Join us as we gaze into the audible lens out at the diverse musical landscape on the ever-changing horizon.
Hello. Am I here? Hey, hello, how are you? I'm in the green room.
Right on, man. Yeah, you can go right into whatever you want.
Okay, we're just going to get right into a song here.
Go first.
Okay, so this song's called Pinchonesque. I'm going to be playing it on some machines. I've got a loop station and some other stuff, drum machines and synths that I'll talk about throughout the next hour. But let's just get right into a song here. It's called Pinchonesque.
With somehow and all together, and after that you were never the same. No, you are never. I never get together with.
Welcome, my good sentries, to an audience in the Observational Tower, the music interview series we have here through the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope at CFRU 93.3 FM and on CFRU.ca. Just this last week, we had Guelph experimental indie electro-pop artist Kitzel come onto the show for an on-air and live-streamed interview and performance before headlining a grand evening of electronic looping concert at Silence this past Saturday, January 26th, alongside King Dice, our dear Drew JC, and our special guest for today, who we have been skewed to focus our gaze upon.
Hello.
How's it going?
Oh, I'm doing well now. I'm back in a moderate climate. It's a bit of a blizzard out there, so nice to be indoors again.
Yeah, you had a bit of trouble.
Yeah, I had a bit of trouble. Here. I did.
These things happen.
Trouble finding the place, trouble arriving safely. So
right. It's good you arrived safely.
Well. Yeah, and same to you. Yeah. We're all here.
You didn't slip on the doorstep. So what did you just play for us again? Sorry, Matthew.
That's actually a song called Pinchonesque. It's the first song on a 5-song EP that I put out back in May. I've been working on electronic music specifically because I have been a musician for about 20 years, but electronic music maybe the last 4 years, I would say. So that's my first EP, and working on a second one that's going to be out kind of soon, actually.
Cool,
man. Nice. Actually, we were kind of skipping ahead a bit. Why don't you introduce yourself to our good listeners and good sentries?
Okay, well, my name is Matthew Davey, and I am a Guelph-based musician / artist, among other things. And I am working on an electronic music project. It's called Conductor. I do have conductorelectronic.com as my homepage, and I'm on Instagram as Conductor Electronic and a few other social media sites also.
Very nice. Very nice. Actually, that's before getting into the main questions. We did this with Kitzel. We did, for the first time actually for us as well, these quick activities, like short word experiments.
I was looking forward to this. I saw some of the notes yesterday.
So we'll say a word, and the first thing, the word that comes to your mind, you just blurt it out.
It was kind of exciting / nerve-wracking.
Let's
see what happens.
High octane.
I don't know.
That's unicorn.
Panda bears.
Pencil eraser.
Jackhammer.
Marble.
Vest.
Squid.
Karate.
Red.
I don't know. Black was the first thing, so I'll just say black.
Pokemon.
Microphone.
Shoelace.
Pikachu.
Oh, mixing
it
up
back
there.
That's a bit of a loop now.
He's good. You're good.
Nice. Did I pass?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah, you did really good.
Squid karate. That was good.
Lots of arms, maybe. I think they call them tentacles underwater.
Be very interesting to see that in action.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's good to see you again after the show.
Yeah, so actually for all the listeners, I did see both Nicholas and Drew on Saturday. I guess you guys are probably going to prompt me to talk about the show, but I may as well say it right now that we had played a show on Saturday with Kitzel, who was here last week. Drew, I got to see him play some bass for the first time in real life, so that was really exciting and interesting. And then King Dice from Hamilton, they were really energetic, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, they were crazy.
Yeah, rolling on the floor.
Yeah, rolling on the floor, energetic.
Which is actually what happened.
Yeah,
I was
it was a good portion of the set. It was the floor.
I was a little worried at one point, at a few points actually, because George, their synth player and vocalist, started smashing his mic on the cymbals and stuff.
Yeah.
I totally forgot that he had brought his own mic to abuse.
My first thought. I was like, whose microphone is that?
Why isn't Drew stopping this guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was a fun time.
And, yeah, it was fun.
You like rocked your set too, and...
Yeah, thank you.
That was a.
It was a lot of fun. It sounds really good in Silence, which was the venue. I forget if I said that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It sounds like it's a really good space for audio.
Glad you thought so.
Yeah, I thought so.
Very, very intimate atmosphere as well.
Right.
And it's like, especially for your set, Drew did some crazy light show for you.
Yeah, yeah, that looked really good, and I got some great video and photos of it, and cool. I think that, you know, the visual goes a long way for that. It looked awesome.
I had a lot of fun. It was just this, like, little controller with a few buttons on it to change the lights, but I'd preset a few before the show. And
yeah, I felt like I was inside of a plasma cloud in deep space.
Cool.
So there's nothing wrong with that.
Right on.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into our questions. Let's go, back into the past. How did you, what is your relation with music overall?
It's a fairly positive relationship. I've been playing music since I was 12. I started as a trumpeter in grade 7, I guess, and around the same time I started taking guitar lessons. So I played trumpet throughout public school and high school, and I was in the jazz band. I played electric bass, actually. And then from about age 15 until about 30, because I'm 35 now, I was playing in bands, I guess guitar-based bands, you could say, mostly playing guitar and doing vocals, but also sometimes playing bass or drums and a little bit of keyboard. So that's been like the large body of my musical history has been like a guitar-centered, singer-songwriter sort of centered past.
But so, a good range of instruments, though. Like,
yeah, I
guess
so. Knowing
a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and I think that's come to a bigger form here with the electronic stuff that I do. The name conductor is a bit of a play on words. It could be an electronic reference. It could be a musical reference also, because in a sense, I am treating these different machines as if I were conducting them as players in a song, that it's like almost like looking at a band as machines instead of as people. So I've got like bass type machines, drum machines, stuff for higher end and lower end. And then I like to do vocals, because to be honest, like electronic music has not been a huge part of my past. It's sort of a newer thing of mine, the last 5 years maybe. Mm-hmm. So I like a lot of the aspects of electronic music, but I also like vocals and I like singing. So I try to do a bit of both. It's kind of like a one-man band, I guess.
And you also have a space that you can record in too, don't you? Or like your jam space?
Yeah, so that's another thing that's the last couple of years. I actually rent a space in a barn, but it's a finished space with electricity and insulation and so on. But it is in a barn. And for the last couple of years, I've been self-recording my own songs and sort of working towards a greater, bigger picture of recording artists in general. And so actually the album that I put out in May that I had just played a song from, I did engineer that album myself in the barn. And I passed it off to a friend who mixed and mastered it. And now at this point, the next EP is probably going to be entirely me. I might choose to have somebody master it in the end, just to get some like fresh ears at the end of the project. But yeah, I'm working towards being able to do all of those things by myself, which is sort of like another aspect of my musical interest, I guess, is recording and producing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess if you really delve into the scene and like the craft for long enough with one or two things you pick up interest with other aspects of just playing, like apart from just playing music.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like an investment, sort of a financial investment, because I know like I'm just going to keep recording music probably forever, so I feel like I may as well do it myself. And like an educational aspect too, that I haven't gone to school for any music related things, but I figure if I'm just going to keep doing this, then I may as well keep learning new things. And that's what I like, is just to like do new things all the time and feel excited about what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's a very good mantra to go by in life. Try new things, expand.
Yeah, that's right. And it's like, I've been doing this for like 20 years and, you know, in one way or another, playing music. So I'm always sort of like branching out into different areas 'Cause it's a big field, you know, the music field in general. A lot that you can do within there. Mm-hmm.
So what was the initial like jump into electronic music from like your guitar driven bands or projects you've been in? Mm-hmm.
There's a few things. In fact, the electronic experimenting goes back to about 2012 or 2013. I've always had, and I don't know if anyone can see where my hand is right now, but this machine here, the SP-404, I've had that machine since it was new, I think in 2005, and it's a sample machine, so you can record things onto it, whatever you want to record into it, and then you can play it back as a sample. You can obviously add a lot of effects. You can play it backwards or speed it up or do whatever you want. But the coolest thing, I think, is that you can then take those samples and like chop them up into beats and basically make a drum beat out of the sounds that you recorded. So that's a really cool machine that I've always enjoyed playing with since I got it more than, you know, 14 years ago. So
it's done you well.
Yeah, and I was mostly using it in like rock bands, you know, just to like play audio samples in between songs, you know, for a little bit of theatrics, I suppose. But now it's worked its way. I eventually started looping guitar. I was doing like looping sets with a guitar, and then I was like adding a keyboard in and doing like looping a guitar with beats on the SP-404, and then like looping some keyboard notes, maybe looping my vocals, and like at the same time sort of falling in and out of different bands. By about 2013, I stopped playing in bands, which, you know, I do miss, but this project is interesting to me, and I can do it by myself, which is like, actually, to be honest, like not as fun. I think it's more fun to play with other musicians, but maybe for me at least, I think it's easier and more time effective to just be like writing stuff by myself, and I like a certain amount of alone time to just like tinker with music anyways. So this whole setup here is kind of like a way for me to write music, perform music, etc., just by myself, which is kind of easy.
Yeah, I get what you mean about, you know, missing the band scenario, but I guess like you already kind of acknowledged, it's, you know, there's pros and cons to both, but
yeah. And I guess like the further that I got into like looping, then the more machines I wanted to add, because mm-hmm. I was like feeling limited, and I would buy something new and I would still feel like, oh, now this thing's missing, so I'd buy something to sort of compensate for that.
Yeah.
And like treating it like it's a full band, where it's like, well, now it's like, what do I need next to make this sound complete? And at this point, I think I've got like a pretty good setup going on, but I think it's always going to evolve slowly too.
Yeah.
I like where it is right now, but I wouldn't say that I'm going to keep it the same forever. That hasn't been my experience in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah, like right now, the gear rig setup you have now is really impressive and well-organized, like, for you.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Could you do us a short demo of all the equipment you have?
Yeah, I know there's, like, one camera over here where you can see most of my things. Something else I think I should say about my electronic music is that I've been purposely avoiding using a computer for my live sets.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Which is kind of, it's inconvenient. It would be nice, and I like fight off the urge a lot to just like do a set with a software program and like maybe a MIDI controller, and that would maybe make things easier and possibly in some ways might improve things, but I'm avoiding that for now. We'll see what happens in the future, but I'm sort of like in this space, and I have been for a few years, of like trying to make this work without computers. So these are just digital instruments. I guess you could consider them a type of computer, but it's not like a laptop, which is what I was referring to. Over here on my far right, which is a little bit out of view from the camera that I can see, this is my synthesizer. It's actually, I've got a lot of Roland products, and that was sort of a coincidence, I guess. I do like the Roland products, but I'm not like completely attached to them, and there's a couple of non-Roland things here, but I've got a Roland System 1 synth, A lot of this stuff was pretty new when I bought it. Came out around 2014, 2015, and I started, you know, finding it used here and there on Kijiji or Long & McQuaid Rentals will sell you their rented equipment, which is a good deal if you don't want to like spend the 100% of money that it costs. You can usually get it for like 3/4 of the cost instead. So anyways, System 1 synth, which is running its output into here, which is a TR-8 drum machine. And then the drum machine, along with most of the rest of the devices here, is running into my mixing board. And finally, out of my mixing board, I am running into a loop station, which is the Boss RC-505. It's like a finger button loop station, so you don't need to stomp on it with your feet, which may have advantages or disadvantages depending on what you're doing. But for me, I don't need foot pedals. I've got, let's see, the synth running into the drum machine, which runs into the mixer. The sample machine runs into the mixer, but I'm also running a microphone into the sample machine into the mixer. This is another vocal producer or transformer, which runs into the mixer, and that's my second microphone there. This thing here is called a TB3, which is like a bass step sequencer. You can get other sounds out of it too, but it's specifically like from the 90s acid house era. It was modeled after the TB303 from actually the 80s, I should say. But this is like a newer version of the older product, which gives you some bass sounds. And yeah, that goes in there. I've actually got this telephone, which people are usually interested to know a little bit about. It's a rotary dial telephone. It is a real phone, and I'm using the original microphone. I've basically hardwired the cables coming out of the back, the telephone cable, and you can wire up the microphone of the phone into an XLR chassis, and then you treat it like a normal microphone. You plug it in with an XLR cable. I also happen to be running it through this, which is made by TC Helicon, and they are a Canadian company out of Vancouver, I believe. And this is basically an auto-tune pedal, so I can have the throwback lo-fi, 2-volt sound of a tinny high-pitch microphone from a rotary phone, you know, from probably the 70s, I would guess. But then I run it through this auto tuner and sort of like revive it and bring it into the 21st century, I think. Mm. It's kind of a neat thing.
And yeah, I think your rotary phone is like your most distinguishing like visual.
Yeah, I guess
image.
It is. Like visually, it's interesting, I think. It's fun to use, and it's fun that people think it's fun for me. You know, I usually like if I'm posting something about it online, people have questions about it. So it's like sort of a conversation starter.
Also like an intercom kind of.
Yeah. It has like that intercom, like PA sort of sound.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you could like cycle phones when you change your like setup up too.
Yeah. It's like, different phones.
Conductor 2 or, et cetera. And you have like, a pay phone next time.
Yeah. I'll bring like the whole booth.
Yeah.
Actually I did experiment with different phones. And sometimes they worked and sometimes they didn't. The rotary dial ones work. I've actually been trying to get like an old landline handheld with the electronic like button push style, so you can hear the buttons when I'm pushing them. And it's just like one of my many projects I haven't really got to the end of yet.
Nice. For the future.
Yeah, maybe that's for the future. I guess the last thing I'll say really quickly is that four of these machines are MIDI chained together, so that the drum machine is actually the master machine, and it is controlling the synth, and then the synth is controlling the bass machine, and well, TB3 is the name, and then the TB3 is controlling the SP-404. So actually, if I press start on the drum machine, then those four machines are all going to start at once. And in other ways, with effects and so on, and tempo change, it controls the other machines. So that's how they can sync up together and play at the same time.
If I wanted to absorb any of that, I would have to go back on the CFRU archives online and listen to it again.
Yeah, we'll send you the text. What do you call it? The transcript.
That's right.
Yeah. It's like, I guess, I don't know if I'm like saying it too quickly, but... It's a way that my machines can sync up in case anybody's wondering, like, you know, I'm not doing it manually. There's a lot of problems, obviously, when you're trying to perform music to like a perfect tempo with electronic music and syncing things up. So it's really just like the computers are doing the work.
Did you ever have like a really devastating moment during a live set where like something conked out? Maybe you lost a connection, you couldn't find it?
Yeah, actually, there's one thing I do in my set that is not synchronized, and I have to just be precise with it, is that when I'm recording loops on my loop station, the loop station is not MIDI synced to my other instruments, just for some technical reasons that I probably don't need to explain, but it wasn't working for me. So I just have to basically press record and press stop right on the beats when I want to, and if I'm not pretty close to being perfect, I would say you can hear that imperfection.
Doing it live.
So it's just a matter of like, that's a little bit of something that I need to just practice and perfect, and I think I have. It just takes time, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it seems like you've spent enough time. Well, maybe not enough time, but obviously.
Yeah, some time. Well, the last
good
few
enough
years.
Time for now, at least. You know, what you do is pretty, pretty cool, and it looks like you've put a lot of work into that setup.
Yeah, thanks. I have, yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Why don't we hear some more music?
Okay. Yeah, so I'll play a song. This one actually is not off of the EP. It probably will be on the upcoming EP. See, I've been recording myself for a couple years, and in a sense, you know, not to say there's no artistic direction to these albums that I'm putting out, but to some degree, basically whichever songs that I think sound good that finish up first, like that's kind of what I'm dumping onto the next EP. So I've got like 20 or 30 songs that are in the works, and
it's a good way to not keep it in the box kind of.
Yeah, and I think in this sort of internet digital era, where, you know, everything happens really quickly, instead of spending 2 years trying to put out a full length, I think I'd rather spend like 6 months or 8 months just to put out like five or six songs.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, a lot of people just do singles even. I do like the art, the like artistic approach of like making a good album front to back. So that's not like, it's not that I am not considering that, but yeah, I've got enough songs right now that I'm almost ready to put out another EP, and I think this is going to be on it. It's called Sword Swallower. It's kind of a good example of my loop station too. I'm using a lot of the loop station in this song, whereas the last song was some of the synth and drum machine driven. So I guess I'll just get into that. Are we ready for this?
Yes, we are.
Okay, I'm going to put this mic down.
Here is Conductor here on CFRU 93.3 FM. Thank you.
There's a little ditty there called Sword Swallower.
Awesome.
And that was Conductor here on CFRU 93.3 FM on CFRU.ca and live streaming with wonderful visuals on CFRU's YouTube channel.
I'm excited to see the background here. I don't know what I'm standing in right now.
It's really cool, Matthew.
That's nice. Yeah. I don't know if I'm like dating myself here, but I remember on Whose Line Is It Anyways, they would have the green screen. And the person in front of the green screen would have to guess, based on the audience's reaction, what was behind them.
That was Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember
like
that 20 segment.
Years ago.
I guess it was like
it
earlier.
It was in the Drew Carey segment. It wasn't the original one. But anyways, no. That's. I feel like I'm on, like, I'm like wondering if there's like a Tyrannosaurus behind me or something. I guess I'll find out.
And a surprise for all of us, because we can't see either. But you good listeners could be right now, if you would like. Yeah, like for me personally, I just talking to you now, and then when you go into when you play, it seems like you put on a different personality or a persona, like more dynamic and expressive. Is
Yeah, I
do
guess
you feel
that's
that?
True. Yeah, that's an interesting observation. Yeah, I wouldn't really notice that as much on my own, but I've heard a few people say that. Yeah, definitely. Like, I think that speaking for myself and probably for most people, I'm like a pretty multi-dimensional person, and I have a lot of different things going on, and I wear a lot of different hats throughout the day or the year or whatever. Mm-hmm. So like I am a musician and I am conductor, which is this project, but I'm other things too. And
it's one of your
hats. Not like my whole life is like walking around listening to crazy electronic music, although I kind of wish it was, but but you know, you got to do other things too, and I have lots of different interests. So I guess the conductor project is like sort of contained within itself, and then I've had other music projects where maybe I've had a similar but different sort of persona, you know, as part of that project. I think it's just something you drop into. And maybe like I could say in a bigger sense that being an artist or, you know, creating art is like an opportunity to express yourself in ways that you don't usually get to. It like gives you a different outlet.
I guess break your like normal mold and do something crazy.
Yeah, I went through a few years where I was doing like a solo singer-songwriter project with, it was just me playing guitar and singing, and it was like so stripped down, and I was like, I didn't even want to give it my own name. It was called MD Edwards, which was sort of like a rearrangement of my real name, which is Matthew Edward Davey. So MD Edwards was like sort of like an alter ego of mine so that I could feel like less like exposed to that sort of like vulnerable type of songwriting. So yeah, I think that's probably true for a lot of people, is like you get to create art and then you get to be like not somebody who you're not, but it's like you get to be a different part of you that doesn't exist when you're like buying groceries or like driving to work or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you, I guess you also want that privacy as well, to be like disconnected from it for a little bit and get.
Yeah. And then it's like fun to jump into it, especially like a live performance where I get like energy from people watching it. And I feel like somewhat of an introverted person that I don't typically get energy from being around people. But maybe in a performance setting, that's not true. Oh, there it is. The Tyrannosaurus. Okay, good.
Brian just gave him a glimpse of the...
I'm going to screenshot it. It's going on Instagram.
Brian actually got Matthew slash conductor a T-Rex in the back.
Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome.
I am excited about that.
Brian is the...
I don't even remember what we were talking about now. Just like Tyrannosauruses.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a healthy outlet, and like a way of expressing yourself. You know, I know like a few people who kind of take that path, and it seems to work for them. You know.
Yeah. Like David Bowie. I guess it's like maybe an argument, right? Sorry to interrupt. You said David Bowie is sort of like an example.
Yeah.
Like an alter ego type person, like larger than life.
Yeah, I guess he had that access to, or that aspect to him, that side to him, but I don't mean like in that sort of sense. I mean like having that other pair of pants that you can wear, and
maybe like a different artist would disagree and feel like they need to be 100% themselves, and there's like that's like its own art form too, you know. There's so many different ways to do things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so you did mention that you don't solely listen to electronic music. What are your musical influences and the genres and styles you listen to?
Yeah, and that changes too, but I guess in the last 5 years or so, and maybe like partly because, or you know, part of the reason that I am doing electronic music, I started becoming interested in certain types of electronic music and also certain hip-hop artists. I still, like, to this day have difficulty saying, like, I like the hip-hop genre as a whole.
Yeah.
I sort of expressly disliked it for so many years. And, like, maybe in the last 5 years or so, I've found certain artists and certain, like, collectives of artists that I think are really interesting and really inspiring. And so, you know, a lot of that music is electronic-based, too.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I grew up as a teenager doing, like, I played in punk bands. I played in, like, prog rock bands.
Ooh, really?
Different types of, like, rock bands that were maybe not, like, you know, mainstream radio rock and roll or alternative rock, but, like, in that sort of arena of rock music with guitar. Yeah.
Yeah. Or so the SMK is prog rock focused.
Yeah.
What is that prog band?
Yeah,
that
I thought
mentioned?
I would mention that. I was in a band about 10 years ago called Persona, and we actually toured out east a few times, and we toured across Canada once, like living in a van with a bunch of guys, you know, one of those sorts of experiences. And that was a lot of fun. I played guitar and I sang, and I had like a big pedal board on the floor at that time. Now I've just got one up on a table. Looks a little different. I would say it was maybe more similar to like the Mars Volta, like early 2000s sort of prog rock, and a little bit less like, I don't know what else you would think of, but 70s prog rock. It was like maybe a little bit less of that and more of like the screamy, noisy chaos. And I think Mars Volta is a good example. I already said it. So yeah, I think it's kind of like that. That was 10 years ago, and like a lot of time's gone by, and I've gone through different like phases of like being in, you know, you go through like your Bob Dylan phase and Beatles phase. And yeah, so I've like done a lot of sort of listening to albums. I have a lot of records and some cassettes, and I used to have a ton of CDs, so I got rid of them because I just copied them all to my computer and sold them to the Beat Goes On. But
right on.
I have a lot of like music anyways.
Yeah, your recent EP Mixed Media, you had a run of cassettes done up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
let me do a little plug shout out to Dylan Francis, who actually runs his own radio show. I'm going to be going on there February 26th on CKMS in Waterloo. And he also is one of the owners of 3-9's Compact Cassettes. He's a really cool guy too. So I just want to like mention 3-9's Compact Cassettes. And he's the one behind the cassettes. He sort of approached me and said, I liked your set. I played a show like in Waterloo. He liked my set. He wanted to do tapes. So I was like, yeah, let's do it. And it's just kind of fun, you know? It's like, it's something like, something interesting about like making a physical media package that people can like hold and buy when that's not necessary anymore, but it's still sort of enjoyable in its own way.
As a memory of the experience.
Yeah, yeah. It's like some people like to have like a tangible object, or like there's artwork, there's liner notes, there might be like extra photos or whatever. So that's kind of why I liked CDs and records myself.
And you lose a lot of that with digital releases.
Yeah, and you lose a little bit of the like the art of making an album, like I mentioned earlier, like the art of having a good album start to finish that is like cohesive and like a single unit, because it's like these days it's a lot of just like one-off singles from people that you might never hear again. So it's sort of like a throwback to a different time, which like was not that long ago.
Yeah, so much has advanced just in a couple
years. Yeah, like in
years.
20 years or something, it's like a different world, right?
To the dismay of the artists.
Yeah, I guess so. It's like a double-edged sword. Like in this world, everybody gets to record themselves and everybody gets to like put out their album to the world. But then you're competing against all of those other people who are doing the same thing as you too.
A lot more to flip through and...
Yeah, exactly.
Some diamonds get lost in it all.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But I guess that was happening too in the days of record contracts and record companies too. It's like if you weren't signed, probably no one was going to hear about you outside of your hometown. So
right.
I guess it's like a different problem nowadays than what we used to have.
Unless you had the money to tour and like promote someone, but who?
Yeah, like, yeah, I suppose.
What sliver of people could actually do that, you know?
Yeah, and I still get people asking me if I have CDs, which I think I will do some CDs soon.
You had some tapes at the show on Saturday?
Yeah, I had some tapes at the show.
Yeah.
I
forgot to grab one before you left.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to give you one. I have one in my coat pocket here.
Mm. Oh, that's very sweet of you. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Well,
I know it's almost 5. I don't know if we're like behind or ahead, or like how you guys are feeling, like what
do you
want to talk about, or...
I don't know how, like, maybe we can end off with you some songs, or do you want to play like two songs to end off?
Or yeah, sure.
So maybe
like
we can...
what I'm looking at, I've got like 8 or 9 minutes, but you'll probably say your goodbyes. We'll all sort of goodbye to the audience.
Yeah, we can quickly go through our ending, or maybe just quickly you've mentioned a few things that are going to be happening to with your project over the next few months. Mm-hmm. But is there any more live performances that we can catch you?
Yeah, I'm going to be playing, well, it's about 5 weeks away, but my next show as of right now is Gainfest. I'm playing on the Saturday because it goes all weekend from March 8th till 10th. Gainfest here in Waterloo. As far as I know, I haven't played Gainfest before, but I believe it's at various Guelph venues, so I don't know when I'm playing, but I know it's on the Saturday, March 9th. So that will be my next live performance as of now.
Nice.
Yeah.
And will we be expecting a new EP this year?
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to basically as soon as I can put it out, and maybe what a realistic time frame sounds like is April-ish. I don't think it'll be ready for Gainfest, but I'm going to basically just put out another 5 songs, and I think I'm on a roll with doing 5-song EPs. I've got enough backlog of like half recorded songs at this point that the ball is rolling now, and it won't take me another year to put out 5 more songs. I think it's speeding up as I go.
Yeah, 5's a good number too.
Yeah, I kind of like the 5-song EP. I don't know why, but I listen to like a lot of artists that put out short albums now, like 25-minute, 30-minute albums. Because you can put out an album however long you want now. It's not like confined to a physical space.
Hour.
Yeah, hour or like 80 minutes on a CD or whatever the vinyl is, depending on the speed. So it's like, yeah, I could put out an album that's like 80 or 90 minutes, but I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather just like...
Maybe if you go on hiatus for a while and really give it a rest for a bit and stock them up.
So I think my goal now is to basically be putting out EPs like every 6 or 8 months. So that one's going to come out soon.
Well, we're going to hold you to it.
yeah, it'll come out soon. And what else was I going to say? Actually, I wish I had it here today, but it's not ready. But when I do go on CKMS on February 26th, I'm going to be dropping a new single that day, and they'll be playing it on that station. Cool. So I'm sorry it's not ready for today, because that would have been fun to do today.
It happens. But it's nice to have you anyways.
So. It's getting mastered right now, so it's a new single, and it'll probably be on the EP. But either way, I'm going to drop that on the 26th on that radio show and also online.
Very awesome. Right. Well, so, what are you going to be leading us out with?
I guess I'll do one more song at this point.
Yeah, sure.
Got about 5 minutes.
What is it? 5 minutes. That sounds like one song. I'll play something off of this EP, which actually is called Mixed Media. I don't think I've said that yet. Mixed Media is my 5-song EP, which is for sale, and you can also listen to it for free if you are so inclined on conductorelectronic.bandcamp.com. It's on iTunes also, but I like my Bandcamp page. But you can check it out on streaming platforms too, iTunes or Spotify or whatever you want to do. So it's Conductor, and Mixed Media is the album. And this song is called Hold the Phone. So I'll get started on that.
All right. So this is the SMK, the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope at CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, and live streaming on CFRU's YouTube channel.
Keep informed with the show on Facebook and Twitter, both at SMK Radio Program.
I'm Nicholas Cooper.
And I'm Drew Jacy.
Until next, we behold Prague on
and look inward and beyond. Thank you.
has to know. No one has to think about it. Oh, wouldn't they like to know? Just like their favorite TV show that we just started. With familiar plots.
Place we are.